I'll do anything, Lord. Just to see you, Lord. Just to see you. Glory, Lord. Do anything, Lord. Oh, just to see you. See you as my King. I want to be where you are, Lord. Where you at?
It's a really strange day, like I said. My family, my parents, my siblings, they're all in Illinois this morning. So I don't feel alone. I know you guys are with me.
Yes.
God is with me. Yes. And he has anointed me for this hour.
Amen.
And for this season.
Amen.
So that is 1 Chronicles chapter 11. We're going to start at verse 10. Now please bear with me. I have a little bit of reading to do this morning.
All right.
And I'm prepared, but some of these names, I had to ask for some help this morning.
That's all right.
And I promise you, when I come before you again, I'll have these names more prepared.
All right.
So I'm going to start at verse 10. Now these were the heads of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him and his kingdom, with all Israel, to make him king, according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. And this is the number of the mighty men who David had: Jehoshabim, the son of Hashmonite, chief of the captains. He had lifted up his spear against 300, killed by him at one time. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Aelite, who was one of the three mighty men. He was with David at Poseidon. Now there the Philistines were gathered for battle, and there was a piece of ground full of barley. So the people fled from the Philistines, but they stationed themselves in the middle of that field. He defended it and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory.
All right.
And three of the 30 chief men went down to the rock to David into the cave of Adullam, and the army of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. David was then in the stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David said with longing, "Oh, that someone would give me a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." Mm-hmm. So the three broke through the camp of the Philistines, drew water from the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, David would not drink,
mm-hmm.
but poured it out to the Lord. And he said, "Far be it from me, O my God, that I should do this. Shall I drink the blood of these men who have put their lives in jeopardy? For at the risk of their lives, they brought it." Therefore, he would not drink it. These things were done by the mighty three men. Abishai, the brother of Joab, was one of another three. He had lifted up his spear against 300 men, killed them, and won a name among these three. One of the three, he was more honored. Of the three, he was more honored than the other two men. Therefore, he became their captain. However, he did not attain to the first three. Benaniah was the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man from Kabzeel, who had done many deeds. He had killed two lion-like horses of Moab. He also had gone down and killed a lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day. He killed an Egyptian, a man of great height, 5 cubits tall. In the Egyptian's hand, there was a spear like a weaver's beam, and he went down to him with a staff, wrested the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and killed him with his own spear. These things Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, did, and won a name among three mighty men. Indeed, he was more honored than the 30, but he did not attain to the first three, and David appointed him over his guard. Now you might say, why did she take all that time to read all of that? Well, the Lord was showing me that, if you want a title, I struggle with this a little bit because if you know me again, I'm a comedian. So when the Lord gave me this title, I said, I'm not here to make them laugh, I'm here to teach them something this morning.
All right.
So the title that he had given me is, "What's in Your Wallet?" And I said, "Well, Lord, that's funny. What's in your wallet?" And he said, "Tell my people to think of it like this. We cherish what's in our wallet. Our wallet is close to us, and it affects the way we operate, good or bad."
That's good.
So basically, this lesson today that I'm going to teach you, this principle that I'm going to teach you, is who's in your inner circle, and are they uplifting you or pulling you down?
All right.
So
that's good.
David began building his inner circle in the difficult days before he became the king. You don't have to turn here, but it says in 1 Chronicles chapter 1, it talks about David assembling his men. And that's also why I wanted to read all that. I wanted you to see who was surrounding David, even before he became king. David, he chose multi-gifted and versatile leaders. It says here in chapter 12, verse 2, and they were among the mighty men, helpers in the war, armed with bows, using both the right hand and the left hand. So they were versatile men.
All right.
David delegated responsibility within the inner circle based on their gifting. David looked for men who were exceptionally and courageous. David chose for the inner circle men who would declare their loyalty to his cause. David welcomed into his inner circle only those who truly wanted to be there. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, it says, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer. I'm not calling anybody a fool this morning. I just want you to examine who's close to you.
All right.
Before I came here, God did what I call pruning. He pruned a lot of people from my inner circle. I didn't have a big inner circle, but those closest to me I did cherish. But where God was taking me, I couldn't bring all those people with me. They weren't going to understand. They weren't all against me, but I don't think they were all for me the way I thought they were. So right. God had to cut those people in my life to bring me to this place of the lost and found. It's like having baggage or unclaimed baggage. It just wouldn't work in this season. It wouldn't work in this setting. And the Lord also, this morning while I was in prayer, he also showed me that Pastor Mark's journey to get here, he had to do a lot of cutting. Pastor Mark gets up here and he talks about his past a lot, which is great. We want to know who is before us. Yeah. We want to know who's standing before us. So even in his teenage years, early 20s, he couldn't bring those people with him to where God has called him to be. It would have been a difficult road.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have understood. And he also jokes, and he told us one time that they called him and said, are you done with this Christian thing? You want to come back to the world? And he said, absolutely not. Absolutely not. So I have some questions for you guys this morning. I want you guys, this is sort of your challenge in the middle of this lesson. Your challenge is going to be to make a list of who makes up your inner circle. And do you have an inner circle by accident or on purpose?
That's good.
Do you have exceptionally gifted people in your inner circle? Your inner circle should be bringing you up always, not tearing you down.
All right.
They should be uplifting. Does your inner circle complement your gifts? Now, this is the biggest joke for me. My inner circle now, pastors, I laugh, teachers, it's just elders. That's like the biggest joke, huh? It's so funny to see what God has done, because in my early years as a Christian, I never wanted to be close to the pastor. I never wanted to be in his inner circle. My first thought was, he'll know exactly what I'm doing. If I'm doing anything wrong, how can I stand up to this?
Oh, that's good.
But it's just so funny how God has used me in this season to be right up close with two pastors.
Yeah.
My best friend happens to be a pastor. That's just amazing.
Amen.
I never would have thought that. Never in a million years.
Thank you.
Also, I want you to ask yourself, how are you stronger by those who are close to you? And if you're not stronger, think about this. Who do you need to be in your inner circle? Maybe you need a pastor in your inner circle.
All right.
Maybe you need an elder in your inner circle. Maybe you need the first lady in your inner circle. She's a great woman.
Yeah.
One of my favorite stories in the Bible is Ruth and Naomi. It was just two of them.
Yeah.
So if you don't think that's an inner circle, it is. You might say it's an inner line, but no, it's an inner circle. Ruth gave up everything to be with Naomi.
Yeah.
She gave up, she lost her husband. And who does this? She lost her husband, left her land, and picked up and went with her mother-in-law. Mm. But her mother-in-law was able to give her great wisdom. And look what happened at the end because of the sacrifice that Ruth did, the sacrifices that she made to stay connected with Naomi.
Yes.
It's a great, great story over in the book of Ruth. What the Lord has placed upon my heart is to tell his people that in this season, we must be willing to grow and stretch. We must get outside of the box. This morning, Pastor Ariana talked about change being hard. During this season, as I was standing back there ushering, the Lord is really funny. I'm telling you, that is somebody that you want in your inner circle. He is hilarious. So I'm back there in praise and worship, and he said to me, he said, change is hard. I know, Lord. He said, no, literally. Change, you know, like money, coins, is hard.
Yeah.
I made it that way. It's hard. So we have to be willing in this season to change.
Yeah, that's good.
To find victory in this season.
Yeah.
You must find a way to win. That's what all great leaders and winners do. Yeah. And if you guys didn't know this, you are a leader once you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
You became a leader in his kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you choose to step up and take your rightful place is up to you.
Right.
But we're all leaders.
Yeah.
And at this church, mm-hmm. we have found that we're here to cultivate leaders.
Yeah.
We're to cultivate ourselves.
Yeah.
I'm preaching to the choir right now. We are here to build up ourselves and you.
Yes.
And as you're picking your inner circle, or as you're thinking about those people closest to you in your inner circle, we usually pick people that we like. That's a comfort zone for us.
Very true.
So to practice this principle of the inner circle, you must be intentional in your relationship building. You must never stop improving your inner circle. Never forget that a leader's potential is determined by those closest to him. The one thing that I really, really love is Jesus' inner circle.
All right.
So, you know, in the beginning, as he began to preach, he started picking these 12 men.
Yeah.
They weren't the greatest men.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't the most wise men. But as they started this journey with Jesus, he transformed their perspectives and their attitudes first.
Mm-hmm.
He had to get the 12 to see in a kingdom mindset.
Yeah.
He had to, we teach that the kingdom is upside down. So if you would turn over with me to Luke chapter 6. Verse 20 through 23. And this is one of my favorite. It's called the Beatitudes, which translates into the blessings.
Yeah.
Then he lifted up his eyes toward his disciples and said, blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. That's totally flipped upside down. That's not what the world teaches us.
Yes,
that's not what they say. They don't say blessed that you are poor. But that's what the kingdom, that's what it means to be in the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
He's saying that blessed, well, you're blessed when you're poor because the kingdom of God is yours.
Yeah.
So Jesus did a great work with those disciples in transforming their perspectives and their attitudes. And the key is, I think, is attitudes.
Yeah.
He did a great job of transforming attitudes. It seems like every time I get up here, the Lord has been talking about attitudes. Attitudes. It's because, for one, if you guys go throughout this city, there are a lot of people with bad attitudes. Yeah. There are a lot of people that need help. There are a lot of people that are hurting. And for us to go out and be the light, we must be rooted and grounded in love.
Yeah.
We must have our attitudes right daily. You never know who's watching us. And that is probably one of the worst ways to be taken down, is by an inner circle full of attitudinal people. You will be taken down immediately. You can't strive. You can't even live in that. And I know this lady, I don't think she'll mind me saying it, it's my mother-in-law. She is one of the people that I know in my inner circle that has the greatest attitudes. She's been through a lot, but sometimes I ask her, like, how did you make it through? How did you get through this? But I know that her attitude, her positive attitude, is one of those things that God can use in her that pushes her through. She's been through a lot of hardship, but you would never know if you just looked at her. You always see this warm smile. She always greets you with a warm smile, no matter what's going on in her life. She'll always have a piece of wisdom to give to you, to impart in you, and it's just a wonderful thing. And it's something that we're missing here in this town,
yeah,
in this city. We're missing it. People are angry. They're angry for whatever reasons, but they're angry and they're harboring it and they're holding it inside. And we have to be that light that shines for some hope.
Yeah.
Because the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Yeah.
We have to be hopeful and loving and kindness and rooted in love. And if we're not, you're not going to be victorious.
All right.
That's just point blank. You're not going to be. We're not going to make it. We're going to be in this OODA loop. This cycle of, well, I tried.
Yeah.
I wanted to get there.
Yeah.
I couldn't get my attitude right. I couldn't get my love right. And that's something that maybe you need to just pray to God.
Yeah.
Ask Him to, well, actually, I know everybody in here, we've already done that. Because we crucified, we divorced our flesh last Tuesday, I think it was.
Yeah.
So we should all be good. But it's also one of those things that you have to keep in prayer about, because it's not easy. It's not easy being the only one in an area with a great attitude. It's not easy being the one that's always positive. It's not easy doing these things. So that's why I'm challenging you to get in a circle of people that will uplift you, that will bring light to you, that will that you can call when there's a problem, or you can call when there's an issue in your life that won't say, yeah, you should have did it like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they just take you down further.
Mm-hmm.
But you really, really need some inner circle, some strong people. And you should always be looking for somebody who's stronger, that has a better attitude than you, that's more joyous. So when you sink down, because sometimes you do sink,
yeah,
you need somebody to pull you out.
Yeah.
So I just ask that this morning that you take this challenge and you really, really think about who's in your inner circle this morning. You don't have to write any names down right now, but think about those that are close to you. Think about those who might need to be cut for some reason. And it's not a malicious cut. You don't have to be nasty. It's just, what I mean by cutting is, maybe you can't confide everything into that person.
All right.
Maybe you can't tell them all of your innermost secrets like you used to, because they'll use it against you later, or you've been hurt over and over and you're like, well, this keeps happening. Well, in this season, we're changing. So we're gonna make better decisions on how we deal with our everyday situations. So I'm asking you, and I hope that you're listening, because God has done a cut twice in my life, and it hurt.
Yeah.
It's painful. I can't spend as much time with my friends who aren't saved as I wanted to. You just can't anymore. We're different. I'm different now. God has me going this way, and they're still going that way.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I do invite them to church. I do pray for them in my quiet time with the Lord. But spending time with them, I just can't like I used to. And it hurts. It was a deep wound. It was some people that I had known for years that I grew up with. But God was taking me to another place. So I'm just asking you guys this morning that when you're in time, when you're spending time with God, because maybe you don't even know.
That's right.
Maybe you don't even know who is in your inner circle that doesn't belong, or who you can't confide in. But while you're spending time with the Lord this week, I just ask you that you ask him to show you those people that are a hindrance in your life, a hindrance of you getting to your promised land. Because we at the Lost and Found, we are not going to be, like Pastor Mark says, December 31st, saying, what happened? I did not find victory. So we're working on it right now. This is the fourth month of the year. We have 8 more months to get this right. So I just ask you guys to take all of these challenges that have come before you in this series and take them to heart and really try to change. Really try to change. Surround yourself with great men like David did. Surround yourself with a great woman like Ruth did. Surround yourself with great men like Jesus did. But Jesus was the greatest man. So could you imagine Jesus being your teacher? Jesus being your teacher, teaching you to get it right every day. Yeah. I mean, could you imagine? I sometimes ask people at work that. They'll say something, and I'll say, what would, if Jesus was standing here, would you say that? And it's usually the Christians, the ones who say, you know, I'm a Christian. They always say that, I'm a Christian. But if Jesus was standing here, would we be acting like this? If he was sitting on his front row, would I even have to be talking about your inner circle? Would I even be challenging you to change on your attitude? Would I even be challenging you to be rooted and grounded in love? When we know that's what he's asked us to do, we know that's something that he wants us to work on. And I know sometimes I get up here, it sounds redundant. I call myself the attitude specialist for a reason, because I had a bad attitude. So I'm an expert in that area, a bad attitude. You can say so, I could cut you with my eyeballs. I didn't even have to say anything. So God has really delivered me from that. So that's why sometimes when you guys hear me, every message he gives me, some kind of way it loops around attitude, because he has, I won't say perfected, because there's still times that I say, okay, watch it. I see some bad habits coming back, but I'm telling you guys, just standing here before you, I'm really trying to get it right in this season.
Right.
I'm really trying to get my attitude so that if Jesus was standing here, he would be happy. He would be proud to say, that's my daughter.
All right.
So I'm challenging you guys to do the same thing. And it starts, in my opinion, it's just my opinion, it starts with an attitude. A great attitude is half the battle. I've been saying that for a month at work. A great attitude is half the battle. We have a bunch of temporaries coming in, and we're training them for these different jobs, and we're getting with this attitude. I ain't doing that attitude. But we had these two gentlemen that walked in to our lives on Friday. They have a great attitude. I mean, from the looks of them, you'd be like, if you were just judging the book by the cover, no, they're not going to make it. But I keep telling my boss, a great attitude is half the battle. They will do whatever we ask them to do in a timely fashion. So I'm telling you guys to start with a great attitude when you're thinking about who is in your inner circle. It can become the life or death in your ministry, the life or death in your family, the life or death in everything that you do. So think about that. And just as I'm closing, just think about your personal attitude and how it affects others. And
that's it. Amen.
Well, it's offering time. Hey. Hello. I'm glad we were able to come out today and support LGBT.